Jesse, thank you very much for the opportunity and more so to stand before you and preach the word of God. Let me just say one or two things before we turn to God's word. Our three children, their names are Muvanga. Muvanga, that's our firstborn daughter. She's 28. She turned 28, I think, last week. Muvanga simply means a very strong tree where you get nice wood back home. Our second-born daughter's name is Mumba, which simply means to mold. And our third-born son's name is Theophilus. Now, people have asked me, you've got Mubanga, it's a Zambian name. Mumba is a Zambian name. How come your son is Theophilus? And I said, you know what? When I was studying, back when I was in high school, we used to learn Bible knowledge. And one of the books we would learn would be the book of Acts and the Gospel of Luke. I was so intrigued as a young boy, I'm talking of over 37 years ago, of this name Theophilus. So I spoke to myself the day the Lord will bless me with a wife and boy, his name will be Theophilus. So when the boy was born, everybody was thinking he'll be called Kabwe Kabwe Jr. Unfortunately, I told everybody he's got a name already. My wife didn't even know the name. I said, what's the name? I said, Theophilus. So my mother, who cannot speak English very well, says, how are we going to be pronouncing the? He says, as long as it's Theophilus. So those are the names of three children. I've been married to Songwe for the past 28 years. Last week on the 11th, that was on 11th of August, our anniversary for 28 years. She's 29. She just corrected me. 29 years. 29 years. Well, then, like Gordon has said, I have a passion for church planting. That's one of my passion. Missions is one of my passion. With the church, which is basically a small church, not a big church, we've managed to plant three churches. And we are in the process, God willing, a place called Kawama, where we've got a children's ministry. Once we finish the building, our goal is to plant another vernacular or local-speaking Reformed Baptist Church. In the past, we would only plant English Reformed Baptist churches. There came a time, and I remember I was the one giving a keynote address at the Reformed Baptist Family Conference in Lusaka. And it says, you tell me God can only have people who are Reformed who speak and understand English. What about those who speak our own mother tongue? And as a result of that, we started planting across the country. Kawada Baptist, where Pastor Conrad Mbewe, some of you may know him, Ronald Kalifunga from Lusaka Baptist, said, we need to go out beyond the people of our kind. So church planting is one of my passion. And for this evening, I would want to invite you to turn with me to a passage of scripture, basically which is more in line with working together and the blessings and the beauty that comes with working together. I want to invite you to turn with me to Colossians and chapter 4. Colossians and chapter 4, we'll read together from verse 7 through to the end of that chapter. Colossians and chapter 4, I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Apostle Paul writes as he makes his concluding remarks. Basically, these are his final greetings, where he starts to appreciate men he labored with in the ministry. And he writes in verse 7, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all the things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. and Jesus, who is called Justus. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Damas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church that is in his house. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains, grace be with you. Amen. Father, we pray as we open up these words, which are your words, that you will speak to all of us and encourage us as we consider together the beauty and the blessings of working together as a team in extending God's kingdom. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well then, brethren, my concern this evening is to simply bring to us the beauty and the need that we may learn to appreciate working together. I do know that men like the Apostle Paul would be people one would think such a man doesn't need to have a team. He's an apostle. He's not just an apostle. He's somebody who saw the Lord. Somebody who was commissioned directly by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is somebody who tells us from his own pen that he had gone even in the third heaven and saw things which basically, if we were to bring these things to men, they will not fully understand. In other words, we're saying he is a giant in the faith. He is somebody who had good experience with regard to working and ministering. And yet, when you read the Apostle Paul, towards the end of his epistle to the Colossians, he brings out words which ought to encourage us as a church, as Christians, and more so at a global level, the need to work together. The need not only to work together, but to appreciate people while they're still alive and tell them what they mean to us and what they mean to the church and to the larger body of the Christian family. And so what I want to do basically is to highlight some of those things. I'll just go verse by verse and just bring out some of the beautiful words of the Apostle Paul in the area of appreciating people in terms of ministry, but also commending people to others, that we may know and appreciate that people matter. And one of the things that I've come to notice, especially as the Apostle Paul writes here, is the fact that he identifies men in this context with their area of ministry and their contribution in the work of God. So let's run together and see what the Apostle Paul does to us. And this is exciting. You will notice in the first place, as we read together from verse 7 through to verse 9, that Paul brings out men who meant a lot to him, especially in the area of sending out good message, sending out and reminding and updating other people with regard to what God was doing. Now, this is a very needful area of ministry in our churches, especially as we think of planting churches, especially as we think of praying for other people, that we need to have men around whose eyes and ears are open to know what God is doing. And let's just see together how Paul does that. In verse 7, this is what Paul tells us. And he says, Tychicus, a beloved brother. a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. Now, I mean, I love the way the Apostle Paul appreciates and the way he comes out. He says, here's Tychicus, who maybe some of you people might not even know. And Paul calls Tychicus a beloved brother. He's not just a beloved brother, he's a faithful minister. He's not just a faithful minister, but he's a fellow servant. And what Paul does is to appreciate and to highlight the ministry and the work of Tychicus, and to show those who will be hearing and reading about his epistle that that man called Tychicus, he's not just a brother, he's a fellow minister. He's not just a fellow minister, but a fellow servant with the Apostle Paul. Now, briefly, I know, if you were to turn to the scriptures, who is this Tychicus? Now, for Paul to lift this man and appreciate him on his team, who is this Tychicus? We read in Acts chapter 20, and I would love you to turn with me to Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. Who is this Tychicus? In Acts chapter 20, we meet the man called Tychicus, and you notice the context in which Dr. Luke comments on Tychicus as he writes the book of Acts. It's again in the context of somebody who brings out good news. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, we read these words. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also, Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas. Now, this man is in the company of the Apostle Paul. Not just here, if you turn to Ephesians, you notice again, Tychicus is mentioned by the Apostle Paul. And again, it's in the context of him being in the company of the Apostle Paul, but also a bearer of the good news of what is happening in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle recognizes this man called Tychicus. In chapter 6 and verse 21, Paul again saying, but that you may also know my affairs, Ephesians 6:21, and how I'm doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother, a faithful minister in the Lord, who make known all things to you. Now you can tell Paul is appreciating and saying, I'm not just alone in this work. There are men, there are brethren around me, and these men know what's happening, and they'll be able to tell you of what's happening. I love the spirit of the Apostle Paul. I know the spirit what we are seeing today. When men are successful in ministry, you soon discover they start to ignore others whom they have labored together. What Paul does, he acknowledges them. Not just to acknowledge, but also to identify himself with them. These are not just fellow brothers, they are fellow servants, they are fellow ministers. But that's not all about Tychicus. And he says, he will share with you, he will communicate with you all that which is happening. And Paul quickly moves on to mention another name. Now, I love the way Paul does. It's like he doesn't want to miss out on others. He realizes that he has a team. And so he moves on to verse 9 and says, with Onesimus, Colossians 4 verse 9, with Onesimus. Again, very sweet words, a faithful and a beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Now we know who Onesimus was, and yet the Apostle Paul says he's a beloved brother, a faithful brother. And when you think of how Paul spoke of Onesimus, I mean, it's amazing because Paul does not just talk about Onesimus in the context of him being somebody who is just a brother. He even pleads as he writes in Philemon. And these are the words he talks about Onesimus. He says, notice in Philemon and verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I'm sending him back. You may therefore receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. And Paul appreciates Onesimus. And I'm thinking like the Lord Jesus Christ, when you look at his own disciples, the apostles, you look at their backgrounds. Here is Paul imitating Christ. He speaks of Onesimus, not just a beloved brother, but a fellow minister on this team, propagating the gospel. What am I saying? What I'm saying is, as we serve God, I have come to believe that we need to have good teams. Not only having good teams, but also to identify men and women and to place them where God has called them and gifted them. So much that at the end of the day, when we start to appreciate people, let them know that we value them and we value their place as a minister together with us. And that's what Paul is doing here. When he speaks of Tychicus and he speaks of Onesimus, all that he says is, these men who tell you of what is happening here. And as I come here at Grace Reformed Baptist Church, which basically we share the same name in Dola, I mean, I do know that there are people in here who will be very excited to know and to tell others of what God is doing here. It's like when Barnabas went to Antioch and he saw the grace of God at work in the church. And he quickly said, something good is happening here. And he went out to look for Paul, because he had sensed and seen the grace of God at work in Antioch. And I want to say the Apostle Paul, having seen the need to have a team, he does not just end there by using people. He appreciates them, acknowledges them, and he sends them out and say, when they come, they will tell you everything of what's happening. And I want to challenge you as a church. It's important as a church to always know your sweet spot, your position in the life of the church according to the gifts which God has given to you. So that in there, we as a church at Grace Reformed Baptist Church will appreciate you and place you appropriately so that you may serve God. But Paul doesn't just end there. Notice with me, he moves on. Now another category of men among his team in verse 10 to 11. Here he comes now to a category of men who were part of his team, and according to the gifts and the abilities God had given to them. You hear Paul now moving on in verse 10, says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. He just changes the whole thing, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions, he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justus. And notice how Paul acknowledges these men and the role they played on that team. He says, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision, basically who are Jews. They, notice how Paul appreciates them, they have proved to be a comfort to me. Of course, one would think, does the Apostle Paul need anyone to comfort him? Does the Apostle Paul need anyone to lean on? Now we talk of the second string in the ministry. Does the Apostle Paul need that? The answer is yes. And that's why Paul is writing this, to remind us that we need men and women who will be of great comfort to us. In our ministry, in our Christian service, in our own personal lives, we pass through times of difficulties and challenges. There are times when, just by yourself, you fail to handle certain issues. And Paul says, I have these men I'm proud of. Men like Aristarchus, men like Mark, men like Justus, these who may be of my own countrymen, who are fellow Jews. But that's not the issue. But these men have proved to be a comfort to to me. And I'm thinking, when you think of Paul being in prison, Paul being stoned almost to death, Paul, people basically wanting to attack and even attacking Paul, Paul being beaten. You have men like Aristarchus, whom even Paul says is my fellow prisoner. He's somebody who has experienced what it means to be persecuted, afflicted for the sake of the gospel. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 20 just to see this, Paul, again there in the writings of Dr. Luke, he mentions Aristarchus in Acts chapter 20. You see him being mentioned, the text that we read, in verse 4 and verse 5. And Sopater and Berea of Berea accompany him to Asia. And Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophonius of Asia. These men going ahead awaited us at Troas. If you turn to in chapter 19, just on your left there, verse 29, and you notice there Paul again acknowledging this man. And he says, so the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord. Basically was to attack and persecute these men. Having seized Gaius, and who else? Aristarchus, the Macedonian, Paul's travel companion. So when Paul says and writes, is in Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, is somebody I've suffered with in the ministry, somebody who has a feeling and an experience which I have in the ministry. And so he's quick and right to say he has proved to be a comfort to me, someone I can turn to and say, Paul would say, you remember Aristarchus? When we were beaten, you remember Aristarchus? When the whole mob came and pounced on you, you remember Aristarchus? How God delivered us from there. And they would encourage each other. And more so, Paul would simply say, they have proved to be a comfort to me. You know the story of Mark as well, who at one point deserted Paul's in terms of ministry. And Paul, you know that strong contention between Paul and Barnabas. And yet Paul says, Mark is among the men who has proved to be a comfort to me. And I'm thinking many a time we fail to see the work of God, the grace of God in the life of other people. Especially our first contact matters. But unfortunately, some people base their attitude and relationship with other people on their first contact without realizing God is at work in the life of this individual. Mark is being acknowledged by the Apostle Paul. He's been of great comfort to me. Now I'm thinking of myself, Mr. Kabwe from Ndola, from Zambia. He is an apostle acknowledging me to be of great comfort to him. What Paul is doing is to appreciate people and to acknowledge people in their area of ministry. And above that, to realize that you cannot do ministry alone. We are always a team. And Paul acknowledges the members on his team. And he acknowledges them and appreciates them accordingly. The first group, these are men who would go out and send out the good news of what God is doing in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The second category, these are men who were of great comfort to the Apostle Paul. And I'm saying, as Grace Reformed Baptist Church, as believers today, brethren, we need to acknowledge men and women who are of the same faith in the area where they have ministered to us. It's a great encouragement to them to know that we are appreciated and to know that we are not just the men ministering to them,
but they are also co-workers ministering to us. And that's what Paul is doing, that this category of men have proved to be a comfort to me. We need men and women to come along with us. I have had my own personal experiences where I needed great comfort. And sometimes you might not even get it from your wife. We need others who would come through where we can have not just a shoulder to lean on and cry on, but men and women who have an open heart where we can pour out our hearts and be comforted. For the Apostle Paul, it was in the context of ministry, in the context of serving God. He needed men who would comfort and encourage him. And such men were like Atticus, Mark, and Justus. These men comforted the Apostle Paul whilst he was serving. We need men and women around us. We need to build teams in the life of the church, whereby we would know and acknowledge people accordingly. Paul does not end there, and I love the way he concludes, and as he moves on, he turns to another category of men or brethren who needs to be appreciated and acknowledged. And in verse 12 he tells us and says, Epaphras, who is one of you, just like he said, Onesimus, who is one of you. Epaphras is one of you, a born servant of Christ, greets you. And as if to encourage the church, but also in a way to rebuke the church. Always, always. And he uses the word laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect, complete, in all the will of God. And I love the way the Apostle Paul acknowledges people. I love the way the Apostle Paul exhibits a level of humility. And he says, this man, I bear him witness that he has great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Now Paul moves on to another category. And these are men or women in the church who may not necessarily be seen running up and down. But these are men and women who are always on their knees, praying and pleading on behalf of others. They may not even stand out to be known. Now, of course, for Paul to say, I can bear witness, he saw it in the heart of Epaphras. He also saw Epaphras on his knees. Not only that, he was praising and would hear the groanings of Epaphras, praying for the brethren out there and for out in Colossae or elsewhere. It's not something that he's just saying. He has experienced praying and walking along with Epaphras, that he is a man who is fervent in his prayers. And I'm asking myself, how I wish and pray that will be our goal as churches, and the goal of this church. We'll have men, we'll have women who will be bearers of good news of what God is doing in our church. And they will be proudly saying, come and see what the Lord is doing in our church. But equally, there will be men and women who will be of great comfort, especially when as a church we may be passing through times of trials, of difficulties. They'll be there to comfort, to bring words of comfort, words that bring healing, words that point us back to Christ Jesus. But not only that, that there'll be men and women on their knees who are pleading before us in the presence of God. And this is how Paul describes Epaphras. He says, he's a bond servant of Christ. He's a bond servant of Christ on his knees. On his knees, he fervently labors. On his knees, Paul says, He's praying that you, brothers and sisters at Colossae, may mature and stand firm in the will of God. He's praying that he would see the true picture of Christ being formed in your lives. He understands the power of prayer. And I often ask myself, why did the apostles say we will not neglect the word and what? Prayer. We preach, but we need also to be on our knees. And here is a minister whom Paul calls a born servant of Christ. He was a prayer warrior. In our circles, and I'm speaking of us as Reformed Baptists, sometimes we take things for granted. And there's a temptation sometimes to overemphasize the sovereignty of God and forgetting our responsibility to pray and to plead before God. Epaphras was such a minister. He was a minister of prayer. He prayed constantly. He prayed fervently. He prayed personally. And he prayed with a goal in mind, that the believers may stand perfect and be complete in the will of God. Here is an example. Not just of Epaphras, but an example of Paul, who would not just acknowledge, but also encourage others about the need of prayer and to know that there are others who are praying for you. Time and again I receive letters from people across the world, and they will say, Brother Kabwe, on Tuesday is a day for our prayers. Can you give us prayer requests? And I just feel there are people who are thinking about us, and they want to pray, and they believe in the power of prayer, that our God who hears and answers prayer of those men and women whose hearts are right before him, he will respond. Epaphras was that kind of a minister in the team of the Apostle Paul. And I want to believe, in a way, paint a picture. There are all these riots and everything is happening, and Epaphras will just retreat, and he's nowhere to be seen. And Paul would know, I know where he's gone to. He's hiding somewhere, praying for success of the preaching of the word, but also that believers may stand perfect in the will of God. When you look at the way Paul concludes, you start to see the sense of humor in the Apostle Paul. You know, there's a kind of sense of humor. In verse 14, one would think he would speak a lot on Luke, because you know very well the whole book of Acts is written by Dr. Luke. So meaning, all that we know about the missionary journeys, the ministry of Paul, Luke was there. You'd think Paul would speak a lot about this man. But notice what he says. All he says about Dr. Luke is simply said, in verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Damas greet you. I love the sense of humor and the irony of that verse. Paul says, Luke, the beloved physician. Where else do you see Luke being spoken of as a doctor? And here he's being spoken of a beloved physician. And I want to pull out something there. I know Paul had some experience. It's not always that miracles were happening. I want to believe Dr. Luke was appreciated. Each time when he carried that small box of a doctor, like David Livingstone who came to Zambia, that small doctor, there's a bit of some injection, there's a bit of some Panadol, there's some painkiller. I know. It's not always that God performed miracles. And Dr. Luke is appreciated here. He says, Luke, the physician. Brethren, it's not always that people will have spiritual problems. Often than not,
the problems that affect us would be material and physical. And if our souls are not well, we easily drift away because of the physical challenges, material challenges. Dr. Luke was in the company to deal with the physical issues. And I'm speaking here, the bodily challenges, things that of the body. And that's why I believe Paul acknowledges Luke as the beloved physician. He would have simply said, Dr. Luke, the historian. No, Dr. Luke, the beloved physician. Friends, human beings are human beings. And sometimes they may have physical challenges. Things that will be of the body. It could be material. It could be just their physical illness. Issues to do with healthy. Issues to do with growing up, and you know some in here are growing up. People who need to be supported physically. People need to be present there to see and to discern some of the physical needs amongst the believers. Dr. Luke is acknowledged and appreciated. Luke, the beloved physician. I'm saying there's an irony, and a sense of humor in this verse, because Paul simply says, and Damas greets you, period. What about Damas? Tell us something about Damas. Or Damas greets you. And I'm sure people say, wait a minute, Paul. You said something good about Onesimus, something good about Tychicus, something good about Justus, Aristarchus, Epaphras. Dr. Luke, at least you acknowledge him as the great physician. I mean, the one who dealt maybe with physical issues. And you simply say, and Damas greets you. I'm sure you know something about Damas, eh? Damas, who later on did what? Departed. Brethren, I don't want you to be the Damas. I don't want you to be the Damas. But it's possible in the life of the church that no one can say anything about you. You can proudly say, I've been here from the foundation of this church. But no one can say anything about you. God has gifted each and every one of us. He has given us gifts, abilities, and opportunities to serve Him on the team of this church. We don't want to have Damases, whereby, if it be it on the day, like to speak in our Zambian context, when you die, people want to say all sorts of good things at your funeral. And to simply say, and Damas has gone to be there with the Lord. Tell us more about Damas. There could be some Damases here. You've been in this church, and all you rejoice is, I was good preaching. I was ministered unto, and it ends there. Each and every one of us, God has called us and gifted us. We need, like I've been saying at our local church, not to discover our spiritual gifts. We are not called to discover. It's to uncover as we avail ourselves in the corporate ministry of the local church. God will quickly open our eyes to see our sweet spots, and let's save God there. Could it be in the area of prayer? Could it be in the area of comforting? Could it be in the bearers of good news of what God is doing at this church? And here is my challenge as I conclude. And Paul does that by challenging a man called Archippus. And this is what Paul does. Jumping verse 16 and go to verse 17. Oh, he says, and say to Archippus. Tell Archippus to take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord.
and not just to take heed, to know and to be aware of that ministry. Paul tells Archippus that you may fulfill it. If you are a Damas, Paul is saying, through the counsel and the challenge to Archippus, tell Archippus to take heed to the ministry. I am a strong believer that each and every child of God has been called to a ministry in the life of the church. We often look at men, maybe like me preaching, Dale and others. These are the men who are in the ministry. I am a strong believer that all of us who are believers, we've been given a ministry. That ministry is in line with the gifts, opportunities, and abilities God has given to us. And what God is telling Archippus, which I believe is telling all of us here, take heed to that area of ministry which God has given you. And not just to take heed to that ministry, but fulfill it. In other words, it's your responsibility to run with that ministry which God has called you. At the end of the day, we'll have this nice cake of a team of men and women who will be running in this direction, being bearers of the good news, telling people around what God is doing, like that first team of Paul's companions, who also have men and women and children alike who are saved, who will be of great comfort. And comfort comes in different words. You don't just need someone to come and tell you these good words. To see people growing in their faith, to see the product of the ministry of this pulpit and this church, it's a great comfort, I believe, to Brother Dale, that God is at work here. But you also need men, part of that cake, who will be ministers on their knees. A lot is achieved on our knees. There are those who have given themselves, not just to preach the word, others are ministers on their knees. But what a joy it would be, but also to have men and women who know that we are still human beings. And there are a lot of things that happen as human beings in our social life, in our family life. And they'll come along with us. Come along with us like Dr. Luke, the physician. May God forbid that we'll have Damases in our churches. Let's take heed to what God has called us to and fulfill that ministry. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, we want to thank you that